Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
I don't know if you knew this, but it's been 300 days now. 300 days that Pastor Saeed, yes, the Iranian pastor, has been in prison. CNN is CBN is reporting that the 33-year-old pastor has finally received medical treatment. I mean, this poor man was suffering internal bleeding. He was beaten, not getting the treatment that he deserves. And it's been 300 days. His wife has been speaking to everyone that she possibly can. He's even got the government involved. And he's still in Iran. CBN is sharing a video and where they talk more about this and actually give us a quick update on what's happening with Pastor Saeed.
Seeking legal advice before responding.
The American pastor imprisoned in Iran for his faith has now been held for more than 300 days. 33-year-old Saeed Abedini finally received medical treatment Saturday for suffering from months of injuries inflicted by prison guards. He was taken to a private hospital where he was examined and prescribed medication. Pastor Saeed was convicted and sentenced to 8 years in Iran's brutal Evin prison just because he's a Christian. He's been beaten, subjected to intense interrogations, and threatened with death. Abedini's wife, Nagmeh, is thankful for the prayers and support for her husband's release. The American Center for Law and Justice represents Pastor Saeed's wife and two young children who live in the U.S.
This is so important because we have to remember that we must stand with the persecuted church. Nagmeh, I mean, she's done such a phenomenal job. We've talked about her on VFN Radio and even shared a bit of her testimony. And she's totally at peace. We're talking about how you can actually go through trials. She gives us a great example on how you can do that because she says, listen, I've totally surrendered this to the Lord, but she is going to stand for her husband and for his freedom. And we want to encourage you, we're going to make this related for you on The Torch, but there's a website called The Voice of the Martyrs. It's also, you can find it at persecution.com. And it gives you a global perspective on the persecution of God's children all over the world. I mean, you know, I was at the ballpark over the weekend, and over center field, they have, of course, the United States flag, but right across from it, they have the POW, Prisoners of War flag. And every time I look at that, it causes me to remember of all of the soldiers that have fought in all these wars that we've had here, with the United States fighting, and that they've been captured, they've been taken down, and they've been held in prison. And it's a reminder to all of us that whenever we see that flag, hey, let's remember those that are still in prison, and pray for their deliverance and their safety. Well, you know, we have prisoners of war in the spiritual sense. I mean, we have those that are fighting on the front lines. In this case, Pastor Saeed. And he's in prison, in Evin prison, and we can't forget them. And I want to encourage you to continue to pray, to continue to lift him up and others around the world that are suffering for the cause of Christ.
Yes.
I mean, if it was you, you want to pray with the intensity that if it was your son, your daughter, your husband, your wife, because, you know, one day it could be you.
That's right.
And the reality is that we stand together as one church, one body, you know, for the Lord, and pray that his time there is fruitful. I mean, Paul was in prison. I mean, prison is not the end of it all. And everything that he's going through is father-filtered. It could be part of his journey, obviously part of his assignment. But pray that great fruit comes out of this suffering. That's one thing that we can always pull from these experiences that we go through, these trials that we face. Don't let these trials come into your life and not have an impact on them. Learn to redeem the things that happen in your life for God's glory and say, listen, if I'm going to go through this, this is going to happen, I'm going to give God a glory all the way through it. I'm going to let this, I'm going to redeem the situation for him.
Amen.
Wow. Yeah. And he's the popular one. And there's so many other people that are being,
exactly,
but he is an example to us to understand this is the reality. And I was, you look at this and you think, really, this is what you're doing. You're going to, you know, try to get him to deny his faith in Jesus Christ. Is that, you know, don't you have something else to do? And the thing that they would tell you if they were spiritually honest was, I am held captive. Exactly. My name is Legion.
Yeah.
Right. The devil is using me to try to deny the one and only true God.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, I'm going to persist at the end. But they're not going to say that.
Right.
But then I was listening. I was just meditating on the word where Paul was standing before King Agrippa.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And he was doing the very same thing. I mean, he's sitting there talking about, you read about in the book of Acts what he did. But he's saying, listen, King, you're on. And by the way, and look how Paul honored the authorities and how you hear the church today talking in a way of disrespect and dishonor towards our president. That is not a God thing.
No,
yeah, it's not.
He called on the most excellent King Agrippa.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not only that, the governor Felix.
And he wasn't Festus. Excellent, but he was being honoring.
Yeah, he was being honoring.
I mean, yeah. But he understood. And then he talked about his successes. He didn't talk about his values. He says, you've done this and you've done that. We've been saved with this. But then he says, but you know, I know that they're saying that, I'm not worshiping the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I believe in the resurrection and different things of that nature. And he says, but you know, I used to arrest these guys.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to basically torture or threaten them until they'll try to get them to deny Jesus.
Right.
Think about that in the context of what we're talking about with Pastor Saeed and what's happening in the Middle East, that this Jewish man, in his zealousness for God, who did not yet know Jesus Christ, the Messiah, said, I was doing what radical Islam is doing today.
Mm.
Wow.
I mean, denying Jesus. If you got a Bible in your hand, you're asking me to deny Jesus. It's the same thing. You know, if you got the Torah in your hand, you're asking me to deny Jesus, especially torturing me.
Mm.
And he said, listen, we would just, and I'm paraphrasing, we would bring intensity against them, motivating them to deny this Jesus, this way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that just really landed today because of Saeed and all that's happening is that, make sure that you don't put yourself on some plane that's higher than in your own mind than anybody's like, my goodness, Lord, we're a basket case. You know, when you humanity outside of you, Jesus, we would just do thinking that we're so righteous that we can actually force righteousness on someone else. And that's what happens, when you look at all these false religions or the wrong perceptions of God, it becomes into unnatural controls and monitoring. And we have a documentary was done, and we'll be talking about it hopefully in the future on VFN Radio, called The Quran by Heart.
Mm.
And they memorize and have their children memorize and sing the Quran when they don't even know what they're even singing, but they just have them sing it. But they have, you think, well, that's so, thousands of years old. Mm-hmm. But no, they actually sit up there, even they're in flowing robes. They sit in front of computer monitors like The X Factor or American Idol, judging the kid who just flew in from Africa from some village they paid to send him there. And they lean forward and is like, I'll give him a 2. And it's like, I'm like, but you know what? At least they're memorizing what they believe in.
All right.
82% of the regular church attenders, according to George Bond, is not even reading it, much less memorizing it.
That's right.
I mean, you're like, oh my goodness, how are we going to defeat somebody who's memorizing a lie when we're not even familiar with the truth?
Well, maybe that's it. We need to pray for the persecuted and the persecutor.
Right.
That, like Paul, they would get saved, know Jesus.
Right.
And be used mightily to win many to the Lord.
And that's exactly it, because Paul was so intense on both sides when he did find Jesus and he was converted. The Jews didn't want anything to do with him, even though he loved them dearly. And he even said, I'm willing to give up my own salvation, that you would have salvation. And I was like, whoa. Anyway. And then the Christians were just terrified of him because he persecuted them. He was stuck between a rock and a hard place. He was stuck between his old message and his new message.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? You can imagine if they would have had the internet back then. It's like all those messages, the videos of him stoning Stephen, all that stuff's out there. It's like, I know, but that's not me no more. You got a million hits on that.
Exactly.
You got a million hits on that. I mean, imagine we had today's environment.
Mm.
Today's environment with all the ability to communicate people used to think, well, how could something happen in Israel with two witnesses and the whole world see? Well, now we know.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
If you've ever been the subject of internet fodder, you can say it's very easy.
Very easy.
How many hits did it get now? 10 trillion.
Oh. 10 trillion. I think they know.
Imagine the internet being like it is right now, just as it is today. And Paul, you know, in the Apostle Paul, which is when he was Saul, that he's walking, and all the stuff the local people are posting and blogging about what he's doing, they're saying things like, well, of course, you have three people responding to his posts and his stuff. You know, one is, you know, of course, the Pharisees and the Sadducees going, you know, we just want to thank him for his work in advancing the cause as we give him the honorary award today for persecuting the people of this false doctrine and false way that's bringing division to our own personal kingdom. Mm. And so, and he gets these awards, you know, he's got mm-hmm. these plaques and stuff. They're shooting little YouTube videos of it. And
he's smiling, taking the picture.
Yeah, and one big front page of the Jerusalem Post, you know, it says, and we're just theorizing what it would be like.
Mm. Right.
You know, Pharisee of the Pharisees, you know, got everything memorized, doing everything right. And then, you know, as he progresses along, then they have tonight's news. We have Saul, who was on pursuit of three followers of the way and found several of them in their household, was able to extract them from their homes and has them in confinement right now. And bless his heart, he's working to free them of this false new way that Yeshua, that Jesus had started, but obviously we know that their follower is no longer with us.
Mm. Right.
And so, and there's just remnants, you know, and just want to thank God for his service to the kingdom and shalom. Right? And that's what would be happening. Yeah, and then you have people posting, like, you know, they would post and go like, good job, great job, wait, you know, oh, you're the zealous of the most zealous, Paul. I mean, it's all, you're like just, oh my goodness. I mean, you rock. So they say, you rock, you know, even though you're persecuting the rock. And then, you know, and this is permanent record. This is permanent record because it's internet type stuff and it's out there. If you don't think it's permanent record, ask Snowden. Anyway, so then, he moves along. He's progressing a little bit longer. And all of a sudden, they find out there's this one particular guy that's following the way. They say that miracles and things are happening in his life, and he's just real dedicated person to this this Jesus. And so Saul comes to the rescue, and he comes out there, and he finds out his name is Stephen. And the article reads, today's headlines, Saul finds a follower of the way that was one of their big leaders. They say that signs and wonders come from him, and he glows with their followers' presence. Luckily, shalom, he had taken his robe, held his robe, while he orchestrated a mob around this follower of the way and had him stoned, bless the Lord, and stoned him to death. And he mumbled a little something, but we can't remember what it was. Right? And then they post that up. Then all of a sudden, you have a follower of the way who comments on that post. A little something. It was the gospel. He saw the face of God. He saw the face of God. And he even prayed for this Pharisee of the Pharisees and said, he even asked God to forgive you for this foolish stuff. I can't believe that. The next post, like, what's wrong with you religious people? You're always in the great. Wouldn't that be it?
Yeah.
That would be
absolutely
it.
Absolutely.
But the thing about this is permanent record. This is permanent record. And so then, he progresses along, and next article comes out and says, well, we're just thankful for the duties now because Saul is willing to take a letter from the high ups, and he has permission now to go to Damascus to begin to deal with the folks up there. And we need everybody to make a contribution to his mission. And we just support him in this, and we look forward to the good report when he comes back. Any comments? Any comments, Saul? Well, you know, I just think that just serving God, you know, just serving God. Shalom. Right? All right, so what's going on?
Yeah.
And so here's this big hoopla. He's leaving. He's going to go to Damascus on his donkey. That's just, to me, that's just like, I mean, how can you, it's like being aggressive in a Volkswagen. It's just like, first get out of the Volkswagen, separate yourself from it, and then be aggressive.
He could have ran faster.
Is that right? It's just like seeing those guys kind of go along. But if you ever had to walk in sandals a long way, he's like, I'll ride the donkey. Yeah, anyway, so out. So here he is. He's on the donkey. He's going to, with his folks, to Damascus to continue his good work for God. And all of a sudden, this huge, bright light, the presence of Yahshua himself shows up. Mm. And it's so bright. His presence is so bright. It blinds him and puts dry skin, scale over his eyes. And this thundering voice happens so loud that they can't hear it. But this guy who was having all this good press for the coming against the way, now was being confronted for being against the way. And he says, why are you persecuting me? And of course, you know, at that point, you know, when all stuff's going on, of course, you know, Saul's going, Lord, what's going on, you know? And what do you want from me? And he goes, like, and then, so then he actually realizes that they were following the right way. Mm. And so Jesus tells him, listen, you know, knock it off. And the thing about it, see, what he was doing in his heart, he thought he was doing for God. But when he found God, he immediately adjusted. Why? Because he was doing it for God. That's how you know who's doing it for God or not. Because like Alexander, when he heard the way, he followed it more thoroughly. People who want to please God, when we get a deeper revelation in God, we're like, okay, that's what I wanted all along. Mm. And he immediately shifted from what he thought was God to God. And he had no problem with that. Mm-hmm. And he didn't go and fulfill what he said he was going to do. And so all of a sudden they changed his name. God changed his name from Saul to Paul. Mm. In this internet age, it don't matter what you change your name to. There is a thread. There is a link. There is a link that, you know.
Is it, that why his hair is blue now?
Yeah. And so the next headlines is, you know, Saul's in hiding. We understand that he's living with the enemy. We're not sure what's going on. But he's on somewhere near Strange Street. You know, we don't know what's going on. Kind of strange here. We'll report more details as they unfold. Back to you, Bob. Back to you. And so we're just imagining here. We're just imagining what it would have been like. I mean, it's hard to live in today's, you know, because we're all the same. But everything we do is documented. And what they don't know, they just make up.
This is true.
And so then... here he is on Strange Street, you know, laying there. And imagine now if there's internet. We're told just, what's it like if Saul, and now Paul, his name's Paul now, he's confronted Jesus. He's a follower of Jesus. Jesus told him some things he's got to suffer right now. People are scared to even go pray for him. God had to show up to somebody as a Christian to say, would you go pray for him? Mm. And he's like, are you sure? Do you know who this guy is? And he went and prayed for him, and his scales fell off. But the whole time, you know, he's laying in that bed thinking, oh, my goodness, all these things I said. And all these things I did, and all those posts on my Facebook, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, right.
All those blogs and all those newspapers and all those articles and all that recognition and everything. And it's all negative now because I realized what I thought I was doing was right. Now I realize it's wrong, but it's out there. And people are still going to buy into that because they don't realize that I met Jesus.
Mm.
And I know God thoroughly now through his son, Jesus Christ. And you're going to have to be going through his head that, yeah, you know, maybe not the digital age, but that's a reality of things. And now it's a definite of things. And so all of a sudden, you know, he gets prayed for. He comes up. He begins to, and all of a sudden the headlines started going, betrayer. He's betrayed the kingdom. He's betrayed Israel. He's with those folks the way.
Mm-hmm.
And they post these articles. And then, because then you have the article gets posted, betrayer. And then so you have the locals in Jerusalem going, that's so right. I can't believe that I gave towards his mission trip to Damascus because he never did even do that, saying he met Yahshua on the way on his donkey. You know, he must have been drinking or something, right? And right. Synopsis. And so then, if you've been to Israel, right? And so then, but then underneath that post, that comment on the post, then you have some Christians going, you know, we were praying for him.
Mm-hmm.
We were really praying for him because Jesus told us to pray for our enemies, and definitely Saul was our enemy. And we just want to praise God because God met him on the road to Damascus where he was going to go affect our brothers up there, the believers. And he met Jesus. And we're just so thankful for that. And just want to praise God for that. Right? I mean, that's what you're going to have all that kind of stuff going on. Some people freak out because there's multiple opinions. And today you would have the same things then. You would have people going like, you religious folks. I mean,
right.
You're going to have people that believe the wrong things, people believe the right things, and people who don't believe at all. Mm. And I just imagine what that would be like.
Mm.
Well, that's our life now.
Yeah, right.
That's why we have, in the context of things, we draw lines where God begins to show us deeper things, open our eyes, people change, things happen, environments change, things shift. And we just follow God. And whatever he says, whatever he does, he's right in all of his ways and all of his judgments. And we just kind of draw the line. We kind of draw the line. And but wouldn't that be interesting?
Very, to say the least.
Yeah. We just thought they had it hard. It's like, and then, you know, you get locked up in prison. It's like, he's in jail. Finally, he's in jail. Right. They have him locked down already. You know, it's like, which the next comment is, I just want to thank God for the letter that he was able to write to us because it really freed us up, you know, here in Corinth. He sent us two letters. He first dealt with us a little bit, you know, get the gifts and orders and all this different stuff. But I mean, just think about all that contention you're having to deal with. I think he would have loved it because his desire was to get it out.
Well, that's why it's so important to minister to the audience of one. I mean, what you're doing for God is just God alone, because if he had to deal with public opinion, you know, people are going to say what they're going to say, but Paul's like, hey, it's me and God. I got to do this.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that, you know, that's one of the reasons why, you know, and we thank all of those friends and sponsors that work with us.
All the underwriters.
The underwriters, because we're partnering together just like in the days of Paul to be able to get the word out, you know, and think about it. Today, right now, listening as you're listening, that the world we have around the world is connected to the audience. And so we get a chance, and that's why we have to draw those lines. So people, if they do get caught up with our message when we were Saul, that they can find a thread that connects us to now we're Paul, and we see things in a more open way in regards to that.
Right.
Yeah. Are we glad that Paul didn't allow those words to stop him? You know, at some point, you know, people's words, he kept going. Mm-hmm. And he had to receive God's forgiveness. I mean, there's somebody out there that's probably, this same situation's probably happened in your life where there's something that's happened and the whole world knows about it because it's on Facebook or whatever, but you can't let those things stop you. Listen, if the Lord's forgiven you and the Lord's touched you and the Lord's changed you, then who is man? You know, you got to keep going with what God's given you to do, and God will settle everything out and it'll make it plain. But I'm thankful today that Paul didn't stop.
Exactly.
You know, and just say, well, you know, I'm not going to be as zealous. I've got so much stuff. All these awards I'm tripping over. You know what I'm saying? He kept it moving for the Lord. And great encouragement.
Well, he probably would hire like reputation.com or something.
Oh, goodness, yeah.
You know, if that was true, then Jesus would have to do that with all the naysayers. But the understanding that today you have so many people saying, well, you know, I'm being persecuted. And they're like, what's going on? It's like, I got some negative post on my Facebook. It's like, Paul was stoned. He was stoned. He was beat. He was whipped. You know, he was shipwrecked. He was called everything in the book. He was chained down because they called him an enemy. And when he was bit by a snake, the papers read, finally, justice has come to the one who went with the way because he's going to die. Mm-hmm. That's what it was said. And then, you know, they do a retraction down the road. He's still alive. We don't know what happened.
Yeah, exactly.
But it didn't kill him.
It didn't kill him.
He wrote, you know, that he refers back to the leader of the way, Yeshua, that snakes can bite you and you don't die.
Mm.
If you've been in ministry long enough, that's proven true.
This is true.
This is very true.
That is definitely proven true.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the daily VFN radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFNTV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com. VFN radio is brought to you by friends like you and our underwriters. Find out more how you can join them by giving or how you, your business or ministry, can become an underwriter at VFNTV.com.